Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
You're listening. We've gone down a rabbit hole in here from whence we may not
very
ever.
Very deep.
Dan.
Yes.
You can go on this 23andMe that neither Scott or I have looked at since we did it like 8 years ago.
Yep.
And click on a map and it will show you where all of your kin have spread out through the years.
Mine are all over the place.
We were not nomadic people.
Her family was not.
All of my people are in the United States, although all over the United States. And then I have two in Germany.
Right.
But if you look and you zoom into the map, you can zoom all the way into Kansas City. I have one relative in Lawrence and one relative in Overland Park and four in Kansas City proper.
It gets down to that granular level?
Yes.
Way down. And so shout out to George in Overland Park, my third cousin. Never heard of you. He's very handsome.
What's up, George?
Ashley in Kansas City. Edward. I have a Daniel and a Kyle. All in Kansas City, all either third cousins once or twice removed or fourth cousins. And I have no idea what that means.
I know what that means.
I did do a deep dive on that. So if it's your fourth cousin, that is put three greats in front of grandparent.
Okay.
So the common.
The number of cousins, you go down one in grandparents.
So if it was your fourth cousin, that you guys share the same great, great, great grandparent.
Okay.
Parents.
Right, something like that, yeah.
And like I have a fifth cousin named Jared H. in McClouth, so we share the same great 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 grandparents. Can I give a couple quick shouts out?
Please do.
Chelsea R. in Tonganoxie.
What's up, Chelsea?
Want to say hi to Sarah H. in Lenexa. We are fourth cousins once removed.
What up?
And look forward to meeting you someday. Richard C. in Lee's Summit. We are third cousins twice removed.
Okay, James, my homie in Overland Park. Would it not be funny if you and I did this and we just like randomly started sending postcards to everybody that were relatives?
Oh, God.
You and I matched on 23andMe, and I would like to know more about your familial history, James.
I still have 59.
Sounds like a Nigerian scam.
So my parents are from New York City. I still have 50, and this is just people who have done 23andMe.
Right.
So I'm sure the number is much higher. I have 59 relatives still in New York City, but man, we're all over the map. Got a lot down in LA, Miami, and Dana found she has some relatives in Germany. Explain that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you ever meet them?
No. These are like way, way far out on the branches of the twigs of the tree. Here's something interesting. My parents, I thought, maybe they did Ancestry.com. I did 23andMe with Scott, and I think at the time with Travis, or this was years
ago.
Or
somebody, Rod. Yeah, I can't remember.
So because Mom and Dad didn't do 23andMe, on my tree, it's just lonely Dana all by herself. Under Mom and Dad, it's just blank, as if I have no...
Almost like an orphan.
Yeah, I did. I texted my mom, and I go, could you please get with the program? We're trying to catch a serial killer here. Like, I want my relatives in this database.
Big shout out to Ronald Tucker in Delgany, Ireland. What's up, bro?
I did look. I have friends that I have never met that are related to me in the Los Angeles area. Hope you are safe.
Hit them up, and then maybe, you know, you could spend the night at their house.
Two in Las Vegas. Yeah. Love me some Vegas.
Coming by for a visit.
What would be the weirdest thing you could do for all 1,500 of your kin on an ancestry registry that you have never met?
What's the weirdest thing you could do?
I know one person on this list. I'm going to tell you that. And it's my grandma's something, something, something's daughter, and she's been a longtime friend of our family, like third cousin or something.
I don't know, but I'm thinking about reaching out to old Chelsea R.
You know what you should do? You should start a group Lenexa. Email. You should start a group chat.
Sarah H. in Lenexa, going to add you to the Christmas card list, and Richard C. and Lee Summit.
Dan, it would be the most obnoxious group chat in the history of the world.
Set it up on Facebook and then invite them all. And then it could be the park family.
That's a good idea. I'm going to look these people up on Facebook.
We should start a page, Relatives of Dana and Scott.
Oh, God.
We could get together at Christmas, have a beer, hang out.
This sounds like a terrible idea.
Do you vape?
Do you vape? I'm going to maybe reach out to these. She's fourth once removed.
I'm actually curious, some of our listeners, if like, have you been contacted by somebody that's like, look, you and I have matched on 23andMe. I don't know you. I know people who have gone through that process.
I mean, there are so many people that are related to so many people because that's just how it works. Right. But once you go back to third, fourth, fifth cousin removed, I mean, you're talking about folks that are literally not really part of your family.
This is how we found Dan.
Don't pop the balloon.
My aunt's
I'm just saying.
Biological daughter that she gave up for adoption when she was very, very young.
Really?
It was 10 years ago, probably 15 years ago, my mother got a phone call. And the woman's voice on the other end of the phone said, I'm looking for so-and-so, born at a military base.
Uh-huh.
And my mom just started crying, and she said, we have been looking for you for, at the time, 30 years. I've been wondering who you are and how you're doing.
I've gotten some recent information that is expanding what I thought was my family.
Did this happen to you, Dan?
Something similar.
Yeah.
My dad was really nervous about telling me about it because it was about something my mother had done before.
Back in the day.
Before I came along.
Yeah.
And so I may have, and she's now passed.
Yep.
So I may now have, I might still have a brother or sister out there somewhere.
And are you going to?
I need to. I want to, yeah.
At this point, we're all adults. It's like it is what it is. Yeah. Like, how are you doing? Nice to meet you. No, I don't want to join your Amway pyramid.
Here's my GoFundMe.
Yeah.
This is my fourth cousin once removed.
Aww.
Sarah H. and Lenexa.
Hey, Sarah H.
Do you see the similarity?
No. Oh.
Is she human?
Yeah. Looks human.
Pretty phones similar.
Are phones are ringing.
Well, we've got a doctor coming on in just a minute. And she's calling in. Tell everybody what we're going to talk to her about.
Oh, I can't wait. We started this conversation yesterday and said we were going to hold it over because so many of you were weighing in on whether or not Z-Quil is addictive. Because one of us on this program started taking it like a month ago and has slept so good ever since. And you will pry it out of my cold, dead, non-sleepy in the daytime hands because it's not habit forming. And then Scott went and looked it up and was like, well, no, it's kind of looking like it is habit forming. And so we reached out to the University of Kansas Health Center and said, hey, could we get a sleep specialist on to talk about all of us listening who have trouble going to sleep, staying asleep, all of those things, and what is a safe way to address the issue if it's not Z-Quil in small doses every night as appropriately directed, then what would it be?
Huh. And by the way, my Richard C., my third cousin once removed, he and I have one mutual friend.
Oh, you ought to reach out.
Anybody famous?
No.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
No, I don't know. I haven't looked through everybody. I just looked at the locals.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing if you're famous, you don't really want to be on 23andMe. I mean, can you imagine if you opened that app and like Brad Pitt was on your family tree? My God.
Right. All right. Why can't you sleep at night? And is Z-Quil addictive? We'll visit with Dr. Steve Stites from the University of Kansas Medical System in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Okay, we're going to take a break from the deep diving into 23andMe.
Yeah.
But one thing Dana and I did notice, I don't see anybody here that has my same last name.
Me neither. I don't either.
Yesterday, we got into a conversation about how Dana has basically become a slave to Z-Quil and addicted probably, but in most likelihood, because she's been taking it for how long every night?
Off and on for a few months.
You did not say off and on yet. You said every night.
I will tell you this. If you Google, is Z-Quil addictive, is the first thing that pops up. I'm not the only one asking.
The active ingredient in Z-Quil, which is an antihistamine, is diphenhydramine. So we thought we would take it to the experts. Dr. Nancy Stewart The chief with the University of Kansas Medical System is joining us online. Dr. Stewart, welcome and thank you for the time.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Oh, we're so glad to have you here because we talked about this yesterday, doctor. And I mean, the phone lines lit up and people were saying, well, I try this or I do this or I got a prescription for this. And I think people are just looking for some direction, especially for those of us listening in our 50s and older. Like, is it that bad to use something like ZzzQuil to go to sleep?
So I will say it's not that bad to use it. However, to use it on a nightly and routine basis for an extended period of time is not recommended.
What if it's just a tiny little bit?
She's trying to justify it, doctor.
Justify tiny little bit.
Well, just like a half. Okay, the cap full, like if you take, if you're sick, you take NyQuil and that whole disgusting cap of stuff you drink. I take half of that at night. So I don't even know what that is, like a couple teaspoons or something.
So, I mean, I think the bottom line, though, is that you got to get down to the root of why you're taking it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because just like we would take any other medication, most of the medications that we're using on a short-term basis are to fix one issue or another or to treat one issue or another. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We told her the same thing yesterday. You got to get down to the root cause of why can't you sleep.
But we know, Dr. Stewart, in fairness to all Americans listening who have this issue, like the sleep aid industry has to be a multi-bajillion dollar industry because every time you turn on TV, you know, they're trying to get you to buy for even for children.
Yes, I know. And as a sleep doc, you know, it makes myself and probably most of my colleagues just kind of like internally go, because I mean, we don't want to have to prescribe medications like this to make somebody go to sleep. You know what I mean?
Right.
On a regular longitudinal long-term basis.
But it is normal as we age to maybe sometimes have trouble. I don't think it's, if in my girlfriend's circle, certainly it is.
I would say, there are lots of different sleep issues out there. And so figuring out what the issue is, whether it's, you know, sleep apnea or whether it's a circadian rhythm disturbance. And I don't even like to use the term disturbance. Sometimes the circadian rhythm can shift over time. And if the circadian rhythm shifts, then that just means that your internal body clock is set to actually fall asleep earlier or fall asleep later than what apparent social norms might be. And so I've actually seen a lot of patients recently coming in and, you know, they'll say, oh, I go to bed at, I don't know, 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. And my question to them is, well, are you sleepy when you go to bed? No, not usually. Well, don't go to bed unless you're sleepy. And it's because the time on the clock, the social norms say, okay, it's 10 o'clock means I have to get in bed.
Right.
And so medicating oneself because of the time on the clock is really where, as a sleep doc, I kind of like, you know, slam the brakes on and go, whoa, why are we doing that? Like, let's dive further and figure out why.
Let's move over for just a brief moment to melatonin. And I have a personal story with this. I just for the record, I don't use anything to fall asleep anymore, but I used to. And I remember 2 years ago going into a physical with my primary care doctor. And he I've been going to this guy for 25 years. And he said, how's everything going? Are you sleeping okay? I'm like, yeah, I sleep like a baby. And he said, why is that? And I said, because I take a bunch of melatonin before I go to sleep. And he goes, well, how much are you taking? And I said, 40 milligrams. And he goes, good God, man, are you trying to kill yourself? Is that, that's too much? He said that was way too much.
Yeah. I mean, we use melatonin for a couple things. We use melatonin in folks that have REM behavior disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when we're using it in those patients, we're starting at a dose of 1 to 3, sometimes 5 milligrams. So like that's a starting dose for those patients.
Yeah, I was doing 8 times that.
Potentially lower.
Yes. But I think also, doctor, and you've probably seen this, people are just used to, and part of it's the commercials, part of it's when you walk down the aisle, all of the catchy, fun packaging, and people are used to, well, I can't sleep, sure. I'm going to take this.
Yep. And I mean, we see it very commonly. The The caveat being, as a specialized physician, many of these patients are actually showing up, like you said, at their primary care office first, you know, and so they're either showing up at primary care, having, you know, done this by themselves over the counter for however long. And so by the time they get to us, oftentimes the issue may be long gone, but they're now on whatever XYZ medication, you know?
Yes. I had a friend doctor who, I mean, for years, we might be in year 10, takes an Ambien every single night. And I remember thinking years ago, oh my gosh, that's why that doesn't seem normal. Mm-hmm. But I know that people do.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, I see it regularly, and I try and, as best I can, you know, educate folks on why we use those medicines, when it's really not indicated to use those medicines, what other things we can do in place of those medicines. And oftentimes, if we do use those medicines, it's in conjunction with something else. So it's not the primary thing that we use to, you know, help, for instance, to help initiate sleep or something like that.
Doctor, we have a question that just came in on the text line. And by the way, Dr. Stewart will be with us for a few more minutes. If you have a question, feel free to text it in. 9756 writes, oh my gosh, can you please ask the doctor a question about NyQuil? And here's the question. Does NyQuil sometimes have the opposite effect and actually keep you awake?
Is this question coming from my husband?
If it's last or 9756, then yes.
My husband has said the same thing. So I have seen, particularly with NyQuil, because there is a component of an opioid in it, that sometimes people need more and more because they develop a tolerance.
Yeah.
And obviously that's not what we want. I mean, NyQuil is typically used or prescribed, not prescribed, but, you know, made and sold for, you know, short-term use. And so it's not surprising to me when I see patients that are, you know, having, to use more or increase what they're, you know, currently doing because it's not working. I have not, other than in my husband, had someone tell me that it has the opposite effect. But I'm not going to be surprised by anything in today's day.
At what point, Dr. Stewart, should someone come and find like a specialist like yourself to say, all right, look, I've been taking NyQuil for maybe 6 months. Maybe I lied. It was more than like six, Scott. And it works really well. And I'm really scared to not take it because I know when I don't sleep. Like, when do you know, okay, I need to go see Dr. Stewart?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I've had patients in my office that are literally terrified to get off whatever sleep aid that they're on, because it helps them get to sleep. And honestly, in those patients, when they've been on it for an extended period of time, it's uncertain to me whether the issue that caused them to get on it in the first place, if that issue is even still there until we remove it. But
right.
In patients that have been on these medications for an extended period of time, like I have some patients that are on it for years. I have them slowly come off of it when they're comfortable. Once we start, whatever form of treatment for whatever issue that they're dealing with. And so it's kind of like overlapping treatments. And so we can slowly come down off one and hopefully, you know, increase, use of the other. But I do recommend just starting with a quick search of like sleep hygiene, because I think a lot of this can boil down to sleep hygiene and what we're doing in terms of our own sleep hygiene. And sleep hygiene just means like what we're doing around the time of sleep and what we're doing within 1 to 2 hours of sleep. And what happens if we wake in the middle of the night, what are we doing? And what kind of environment is around us? Because all of those things can impact our sleep and our sleep health, and ultimately and unfortunately could lead to sleep disturbances.
Very quickly, because we're running a bit short on time, Dr. Stewart, but you mentioned sleep hygiene. Dana and I both looked at each other.
Well, I'd never heard all that.
Never heard that term. And you said sleep hygiene is basically the things that you're doing 2 hours or so before you go to sleep. What are things that people should not be doing 2 hours before they go to bed?
Sure. So one of the key things, I think probably the just as a side note, the number one thing in terms of sleep hygiene is to try and keep a consistent wake up time in the morning, 7 days a week. But in terms of what you're doing before you go to bed and within 2 hours, so it's really not recommended to be exercising right before you go to bed because of the adrenaline rush. Continued use of alcohol on a regular basis right before bed is not recommended. Electronic use right before bed, like cell phone, computer, watching TV, reading on a Kindle. I mean, you really want the body to slowly, you know, relax and get ready to go to bed, and give your body and your brain those cues. And if you're doing things that are counter to that, then you may end up dealing with some issues in terms of trying to fall asleep and initiate sleep.
So same wake-up time every single day, no exercise, no Kindle or phone, et cetera. If you ever see a referral come in from a primary care doctor that has the name Dana Wright on it, reject it. Do not accept that patient. You don't want her in your office.
But it's funny, doctor, you say, like, calm your brain down. My brain does not do that. It just doesn't. My whole life it has not done that.
She has squirrel in the cage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're not alone. There are many, many, many people out there just like that deal with the exact same thing. And we still can find a way to help you get sleep and good sleep, good quality sleep.
Okay.
It would probably take longer than 15 minutes that we've been on the call, but I'm sure that we could find a way.
You might want to block out the entire 8-hour shift.
Man, I so appreciate your time. And if we have other interesting questions come in on the text line, we might email those to the good folks over there in the media department because you have been very, very helpful.
Of course. Of course.
All right. Dr. Stewart, thank you for your time.
You're so welcome. You guys have a good one.
All right. That's Dr. Nancy Stewart with the University of Kansas Medical System. A couple of stories here from the Crime Blotter. Police say a New York woman killed her apartment building superintendent when he showed up to collect late rent. Sandra Navarro, 48 years old, is charged with murder, tampering with evidence, criminal possession of a weapon in connection to the death of 55-year-old Jose Portillo. He was the superintendent at the Kew Gardens Hills apartment building in Queens. Navarro and her husband had not paid rent in years and owed $24,000.
They had not paid rent in years.
Correct. The body was in garbage bags stuffed under a bed.
God.
According to police. The husband's not charged because video showed he wasn't involved. A 20-year-old Pennsylvania woman admitted that she fabricated kidnapping and rape allegations that kept an innocent man locked up for more than a month, saying she targeted the stranger because, quote, he was creepy. Angela Urimova, now facing jail time herself after pleading guilty to charges that she fabricated the sexual assault outside of a local supermarket. Urimova, and you know why we hate these stories?
Yes!
Tell them.
Well, there's a long list of reasons, but I, as a mother of daughters and sons, you want to protect the women and help the women who have survived sex assault.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to protect the young men who didn't have anything to do with it from crazy people.
Who lost his freedom for more than a month because she thought he was creepy. She later confessed to cops that she got the cut on her lip from an object her grandmother, who suffers from dementia, threw at her when she walked into the home.
Okay. Can we have an early grievance?
Sure.
Before Friday, because I think it's a topic. I have started baking. I don't know.
I don't know who you are.
I saw an article. It was a recipe in the New York Times. They have an entire cooking section. And every once in a while, I'll take a screenshot of it. And I got home the other night. I was talking to my daughter. And I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to make that cake. It was a one bowl cake, Scott. One bowl.
Who are you and what have you done with real Dana Wright?
You dump like six things in a bowl. You stir all of it together. You throw it in the oven. It's the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
So I make the cake again last night. And this morning, before I come into work, I'm like, I need to make the frosting for that. And you know I love me some cream cheese frosting. The story is going to pay off here in one moment.
The only kind of frosting that's appropriate.
Thank you. So I had Instacarted. I got the cream cheese. I got all the deal. And I made the mistake of Googling cream cheese frosting. And let me tell you what. You are going to pray to your God that you still have your grandmother's 3x5 card recipe box, which I do, with the recipe in it you are looking for, if you have ever tried in these modern day times to Google a recipe. Scott, do you want to know how many ingredients are in cream cheese frosting? The list is short, but I'll let you guess.
Cream cheese.
One.
Milk.
No.
Egg.
No.
What?
There are four ingredients to cream cheese frosting.
Can I take a stab at this?
Yes.
I'm going to go cream cheese, sugar, salt.
Yep.
And maybe some sort of like baking soda.
Dash of vanilla. Oh. That's it. That's it. And the sugar is powdered sugar. This is why I mentioned there are four ingredients. When one looks up a recipe with four ingredients, I want it to pop up. I just couldn't remember the amounts. How many cups? Just tell me. It should take 5 seconds to get this done. When you Google a recipe now for something as simple as cream cheese frosting.
Are we going to Branson?
The result is 12 paragraphs, and I am not even remotely kidding you. I'm going to start scrolling for cream cheese frosting. Look.
Put time in it?
Okay, look, no. You get someone's ancestry history. You get, it starts with, it just, it's War and Peace. And help me out here on the text line. There's got to be a reason. They don't take you to Branson. They take you at gunpoint to Branson to get to the, I almost said a bad word, four ingredients. That's all I wanted to know. Let me just give you an example of what you're going to find when you Google a recipe, okay?
All right.
That's, they got to like tell
this
you their
is Then there's a photo. Keep scrolling. If I had things my way, every cake would be buried beneath a mound of this. Paragraph three.
Who cares?
Not buttercream. Always and only cream cheese. Oh, it's delicious. It's my favorite ever. Now there's another ad. Keep scrolling. While buttercream frostings are usually too sweet, cream cheese frosting you can eat with a spoon. Another photo. Keep scrolling. Tips. Make sure you're using the brick kind. Keeps it on and on and on. And by then, I'm looking for a window to fling myself out of.
Somebody says on the text line, most of those blogs have a box that says jump to recipe. If you hit it, that if you hit in that area, it'll jump all the way down to the recipe. Several people are writing that in fact.
Can I use it for piping? I don't even know what that is. Yes, especially with this recipe. How do I make it thicker? Don't care.
Is there a jump to recipe?
No. Why and when did the... Oh, there's another photo. Why and when did this start? And my only guess is because as you're scrolling, you're on that website longer or something, and then some algorithm thinks you care, which I don't.
Somebody says on the text line, the reason that you're having to scroll is they're hoping you put too much pressure on one of those ads, and then you get sent to the ad.
I mean to tell you, I am now going to start putting my own recipes on there. And I'm going to start throwing in facts that have nothing to do with cooking. This is just so great. Did I tell you I have a gay uncle? How did you do on Monday? Were you off on Monday? It was MLK. I mean, this lady goes to Branson and back. And then by the time I found the recipe in very tiny letters, by the way, at the very end.
Yes.
I was late to work. It's a stick of butter. I swear to you.
Is that the excuse you're going with?
Cream cheese, a dash of vanilla, and 4 cups of powdered sugar. That is 20 minutes of my life I ain't ever getting back.
Well, you just took 5 minutes out of my life I ain't ever getting back.
The point of my telling you this story is this. We should all be cherishing our mother's recipe cards. And I had my daughters. Some of them were getting faded. They get oil and fingerprints and crap all over them over the years.
Yeah,
I had Beatrice last week.
Shirt.
I said, just rewrite some of these. We're going to put them in little sleeves. And then I don't have to go to the interwebs. Figure out the four ingredients.
See, Sarah did that with my mom's recipe book.
It is the greatest gift you can give anyone. Mm-hmm. It's an actual recipe book. See?
Okay.
I'll learn something and I feel calmer.
Where are your grandma's recipe cards?
And I've got a box of them.
Okay.
But they're they're fading.
You didn't go looking for cream cheese?
No, she never had that frosting back then. I don't know how she made that frosting. But do you know they had the most beautiful cursive, Scott? The most beautiful cursive handwriting.
My mom has beautiful handwriting.
And she always used the word oleo. I don't know what that is. It's butter, I think, but maybe not.
It is butter.
Always oleo.
And not margarine.
No.
Can't use margarine.
It's oleo.
That's right. Isn't margarine almost like synthetic butter?
I think it's got fats in it, yes.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to start a blog and come up with a recipe that has four ingredients, and then I'm going to delve into the history of Olio.
You start a blog? You mean listening to eight tracks when you do it?
Yes.
Margarine is made from like oils, like vegetable oil.
Canola, perhaps.
I was thinking more like corn, just because how much corn we have in this country.
I'm going to post that recipe for everyone later today.
Well, I hope you do.
It's going to be succinct. It's going to be a screenshot.
They make the blog super long for the ad revenue. They have to add the ads.
All right.
Taylor Swift and Morgan Wallen lead the 2025 iHeartRadio Music Award nominations with 10, followed closely by Kendrick Lamar, Sabrina Carpenter, and Post Malone with 9. The Music Awards honor the most played artists of the year on its stations and app. This year, the show will also pay tribute to Los Angeles following the wildfires and drive donations to fireaidla.org.
You know, there are more evacuations today.
Yeah. Well, a new fire started up. What did you say the name was?
I think the Hughes fire has exploded. Multiple neighborhoods evacuated.
Okay. When we get back, how a cat found in Oklahoma had 3 flights in one day. And where did it come from? Where it came from is incredible. Cat was found in Oklahoma. The flight did not originate in North America. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks. Story here from Channel 5. 3 boys under the age of 18 were arrested this week after leading police on a chase in Douglas County. According to the sheriff's office there, it was around 3:34 in the morning on January 20th, so 2 days ago, when an officer with the Eudora Police Department saw a dark-colored Kia driving on K-10 at more than 100 miles per hour. Douglas County deputies located the car, noted its speed registered roughly 90 when they saw it, with the driver failing to stay in a single lane. This is going well. When deputies tried to pull the car over, it kept going until it was forced to stop near 27th Street at the youth sports complex in Southwest Lawrence. 3 boys under the age of 18 jumped out of the car, tried to run. Deputies chased all 3 and took them into custody. One had a loaded handgun.
Oh, great. Even better. Am I the only one that has noticed on these roads on the way home? 3 to 7 cars every single night on a highway with either no headlights or no taillights.
Yes.
How do you not know you do not have taillights or headlights?
Well, the taillights I can understand. You mean on or working?
I can never tell.
If they put on their brake, it doesn't
No, if they put on their brakes, it will be on. But if they're not braking, they're just dark.
I've always wondered, it's pitch black out there now. If you're driving home in the dark, do you not realize that the street in front of you is not illuminated or that your dash is not on?
And then are you the kind of person that wants to speed up and go roll the window down? You don't have your lights on. Or do you just go, you know what? That's on you. That's your problem.
None of my business. There is no way I am going to tell anybody to roll down their window unless it is very serious.
Like your car's on fire.
Or you're dragging your kid.
Well, and it's hard to also say, you don't have a headlight. What's the universal sign for headlights? Okay. Don't do that.
I don't know if that's FCC approved. It's a good thing we're on radio.
Some woman calls 911. There's a pervert on 435.
By the way,
you just need to turn your lights off.
Just real quick. They might think you want to come over and do something else, and you're going to get arrested. There's a lost cat that's been found in Oklahoma. They ran the microchip on it. It registered in the United Kingdom. They do not know how this cat made it across the Atlantic Ocean from the United Kingdom. The cat, known as Samson, somehow, some way, made the trip 4,000 miles. They did find a woman with the matching chip. Her cat, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Anyway, cat ended up in Oklahoma.
Probably just didn't want to be with her. Have you met cats?
Which, by the way, yeah, right. Today is Answer Your Cat's Questions Day. Excuse me? What else is it? Caitlin Clark's celebrating a birthday today. She is 23.
I bet she'll be there this weekend.
Steve Perry is 76 from Journey. Diane Lane, I always had the hots for her. She's 60. And Linda Blair from The Exorcist is 66. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, Quentin Morris, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow at 2. Good night.